It's time for JT the Brick.
You want a conspiracy theory? I'll give you one. There's no way you can sit in the boardroom on Park Avenue where NFL headquarters are and say the Raiders are going to open up with two on the road against the Harbaugh brothers. What are the odds of that? You're giving us the Atlanta game on Monday Night Football at the end of December. Thanks. Really appreciate that. Now, what you want to thank you, Roger? He just scoffed and mocked us. Like, you're nothing. We're nothing.
JT the Brick.
I'm defending the Raiders. You should be defending the Raiders. Very simple. Make the Raider Nation stand up. Sound off like you got a pair. It's your time now to be heard. You got a flagship station that isn't compromised up north with a baseball team going out of business and another San Francisco football team and hosts that are in the pocket. You got me at the front gates of the Raider Nation trying to help you have a voice on this. So let's roll.
And now,
Raider Nation unite!
Here's JT the Brick.
Yes, JT with you today, living the dream from the home studio today. Live on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio 920, and on the Raiders mobile app. And on my YouTube page, where I've been in there for about 5-6 minutes with everybody who's already there. My wife put up a beautiful backdrop today. So I could do this show from home today. I got out of the pool 7 minutes ago, and I got a bucket of Modelo's on ice, man. Who's got it better than me? Nobody, even those Harbaugh brothers that we got to play with their dad. Well, nobody's got it better than me today, man. The weekend is here. The dog days of June are coming to an end. Next time I talk to you, I believe it'll be July, right? It'll be July when we come back here. And that's exciting because that's countdown to camp. Yeah, Monday is July 1st. We'll be at Raiders training camp the week of July 22nd for a couple of weeks. So we're getting closer. We're getting closer and closer as the Raiders are currently on vacation. I don't think Max was. I think Max yesterday was working out in the building as Neymar, one of the greatest soccer players around the world, was there training as Copa America is here in town there. I'll get to the USA soccer team. But yeah, we're getting through the one of the quietest Junes I could ever remember in my 27 years on the radio, other than Caitlin Clark. This will go down, and I journal a lot, in June, as one of the quietest sports radio months of my career. I got journals going back 26-27 years and could look at it. You know, normally there's some type of chaos. There's some Aaron Rodgers, Hiawatha story, T.O. doing sit-ups in the driveway, something crazy happening. It's been quiet. Let's keep it that way. Let's keep it Let's keep it quiet in the Raider Nation, and then we'll rip the roof off of this thing in Costa Mesa where thousands upon thousands upon thousands, I would say millions. I think there are millions of Raider fans in LA are happy that the Raider Nation is going to take a peek into Southern California again. We're going to spend a lot of time in LA this year. Costa Mesa in Orange County, and then two games on the schedule this year, which is the Rams and the Chargers. Both will be in LA, and there'll be a big Raider crowd. So I'm excited. I lived in LA for 10 years in the Valley. I'm excited about the fact that the Raiders will be coming in there. I think they're both pick'em games. I mean, the Raiders are going to be underdogs in both those games. As we talked about yesterday, they're going to be underdogs against the Chargers at home. They already are, and I think they'll be underdogs against the Rams because the Rams are a pretty good team. I don't think their roster now without Aaron Donald's better than the Raiders. I know it's not. And you got Matthew Stafford's wife popping off about who she dated before him. What a mess that situation is there, but I digress. Today will be a good day. No guests, so we'll see who's going to call in. We're going to see if, you know, people have been leaving me out on an island, man. I feel like Gilligan on Gilligan's Island over the last month here at June. I've just been coming in here doing the heavy lifting for the Raider Nation. Yeah, they haven't rewarded me yet at Lotus Broadcasting with a show that has 5 or 6 co-hosts. It's just me. And I got you through the month of June. I thought we did some great radio. Last week, we had Pete Rose, Reggie Jackson, and Greg Townsend. I mean, that was a pretty good week here, too, and all the Raider content that we had going on today. So I am searching under every nook and cranny for Raider content. And I found two things today that'll be brought to you by PTs in the monologue. Remember, just think of me and thank me for this. PTs, your home for UFC 303. Head on out to any of the PTs there. They're going to have viewing parties. We've been talking about it. Talk to your local PTs, bartender, Sierra Gold, Sean Patrick's, all of their properties, and get ready for a big weekend here in town. PT's fuels the monologue for a really long time, and we appreciate their support. So there's two things I wanted to talk about in the monologue, and you can start dialing at 702-365-9200 if you'd like to comment. I woke up today with an email from the 33rd team, and that's a new website, sports-related football, former GMs and players like Rich Gannon, and there's really good content there, the 33rd team. And I woke up today, and they had a ranking of the top 10 worst rosters in football. Oh, boy. Here we go. I knew the Raiders were going to be on it. I just didn't know where they had it. And they had the Raiders come in at number 10. So they didn't have the Raiders come in the top five, which is a good thing. There's 32 teams. They ranked the Raiders as the 10th worst roster in the NFL. But they didn't mention a couple of players because they don't know the players. They just don't. They don't know who Jacoby Myers is. They don't know who Zamir White is. So as they were ripping the running back room and actually claiming there was no depth at the wide receiver position, you know, they left out a bunch of guys. I'll get into that more in the second hour of the show. But that irked me. But the good news with that is the Raiders came in at 10th, coming in at number 8 with the Chargers, and at number 3, Denver. Which gives me an opportunity to remind you all again. This is a very important comment I'm about to make. The Chargers roster is not as good as the Raiders. That is fact, not fiction. It's fact. Now, you can be all excited if you believe Jim Harbaugh is going to be a great coach, and he probably will be. I think that Jim Harbaugh is going to succeed at some point. I'm counting on the fact that it won't be this year. I'm hoping. Same thing with Sean Payton. Sean Payton's going to turn it around. If he doesn't, he's going to get fired. They'll eat him out of that contract. They'll buy him out of that contract after year 4. If he doesn't turn it around, he's got to start that turnaround now. And Denver's got one of the worst rosters in football. When it comes to the Chargers in Denver, we, the season ticket holders, have to win 3 out of 4. Everybody get that? If you want to make the playoffs, I've done the analysis. You got to beat Jacksonville at home. You got to get 3 out of 4. That means another sweep of Denver, which is difficult to do. It's tough to beat a team 10 times in a row. Denver's never won in Las Vegas. They're going to eventually win in Las Vegas. You know, it's football. These are professional football players and coaches. So this year, we got to split with the Chargers or win them both, which would be great. The first one's massive. But if we get 3 out of 4 against those two teams in the division, and I think a lot of Raider fans think a sweep with Kansas City is going to, a split with Kansas City is fair, because we beat them last year on Christmas. It's fair. Kansas City thinks they'll sweep the Raiders, but I think a split would be good there. But let's leave Kansas City out. Let's leave Kansas City out of this debate. If the Raiders can win 3 out of 4 against the Chargers in Denver, they're going to make the playoffs. They will. They'll make the playoffs. They'll have 3 wins, and they'll only need 7 more in their remaining games when it comes to the remaining 10 games. And when you look at what 17-game schedule, 17 games, we need to win 10. Okay? If you get 3 against Denver and 1 against the Chargers, that's a combined 3. I think you're in a really good spot going forward, to come through and get to 10 wins. But if you don't split with the Chargers, and they beat you twice, and if you split with Denver, no playoffs for you. As I used to say in Seinfeld, no soup for you. No playoffs for you if you can't have that magic number of 3 out of 4 against the Los Angeles Chargers and the Denver Broncos. I think anyone in the Raider Nation would agree with me on that point. Who would debate me on that point? Who would say he's out of his mind? We got to win 3 out of 4. And then the rest is luxury against Kansas City. And then you start chipping away at Carolina. And then you win 1 between Pittsburgh and the Browns. You beat Jacksonville. You beat Atlanta at home. Then I could start to put the puzzle pieces together for you, and I could get you to the promised land, to the postseason, most likely via the wild card. So when the roster came out today, and it said the Raiders roster ranked in the bottom 10, I saw the glass is half full, not half empty. Because the teams that have a worse roster, 2 of them are in the division. So go win those bleeping games. Go win the games in the division that you could win. The first game of the games of the year, I put a 10 on it. I said, oh my God, I think I put a 10 on it in magnitude was the opening game in LA. I had a meeting yesterday with my good friends from the Commitment to Excellence Awards. Remember that award? We're going to kick it up again. I'm going to get it going again in Vegas. Max Crosby's won the last two. I emceed it for 19 years. Big event. And I was speaking to my friends who are in town scouting venues and ready to put this event on again. And they made an interesting point. They're all going to L.A. The group that I was with yesterday and had lunch with, they're going to L.A. week one. They're putting the magnitude on that game, too. So I was happy to hear that. So that's one piece of content when it comes to this Raiders roster. The second piece is that Pro Football Talk today, that's Mike Florio's site, had a headline that I clicked on. It's clickbait. I clicked it for you. It said Gardner Minshew is the betting favorite to beat Aiden O'Connell out for the Raiders week one starter, written by Michael David Smith. And they said heading out to training camp, Gardner Minshew competing for the starting job. If the betting odds are correct, Gardner Minshew would be the starting quarterback for your Las Vegas Raiders. Minshew is now a minus 200 favorite to become the starter week one. That means you got to bet $200 to win 100. And that added O'Connell to plus 150. This is a DraftKings, so you bet 100, you win 150. I don't take this very seriously here, but it's interesting that Minshew is now the favorite from a gambling site, as he began last season as a backup, but ended up starting 13 games for the Colts. Do you understand that Gardner Minshew went 7-6 in the games he started? 7-6. And Aiden O'Connell had a winning record down the stretch for the Silver and Black. Gardner Minshew has 37 starts and has completed 62.6% of his passes with 59 touchdowns and 24 interceptions. Now, you might say, why is JT mentioning those stats? Oh, because they're the exact same as Trevor Lawrence in one less year. Why am I mentioning Gardner Minshew's stats? They're the same as Trevor Lawrence, who got $225 million, and most of it's going to be guaranteed. So it's another example here as we take a look at all this, and we try to get in here again and figure out who's going to be the quarterback here. I'm in no rush. I don't think you're in a rush, but we're going to figure out what's going to happen here going forward. I will tell you this. If Aiden O'Connell doesn't split the first two games, I think you'll see Gardner Minshew. If Aiden O'Connell starts and Aiden O'Connell comes in and wins one of the first two games, I think Aiden O'Connell will be the quarterback for a while. Why do I know that? I don't know it. I'm just predicting what I think could happen here, which would be the plus side for Aiden O'Connell keeping that job. I don't know many people who think Aiden O'Connell will keep the job past the Carolina game, the home opener game, unless he wins. And that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Okay, a couple other big topics I want to get to here in the monologue. Again, 702-365-9200 as we open it up. Real quickly, I am excited that Bronny James got drafted last night. I am horrified. I am horrified by the men in society who are ripping on Bronny James playing and living his dream in the NBA. Now, I don't want to reach to the bottom of the sewer and say, well, most of these men are living in their basement and their moms have to call them upstairs for mac and cheese out of a box. I'm not going to do that saying most of these men don't go out and have friends and see the light of day. I'm not going to go there. But imagine being a man 31 to the age of 60, sitting on Twitter and hoping that Bronny James fails. That's where we're at in society in 2024. That's exactly where we are coming off the presidential debate last night, which will stay off the show. Remember the presidents were arguing about golf? Really? I was in the middle of that thing going, whoa, wait a second. Yeah, I like a 14 handicap. You know, I'm playing a lot better now. My last round, I shot an 81. I was very proud. I took pictures. I played at Wynn, Cascada, played some nice courses, played pretty well. And I'm not a 6 handicap. And we had two presidents, one former and one current, claiming they're a 6-8 handicap and they're winning club championships. And my head almost popped. But that's the society we live in today. And there's a whole bunch of golf memes today and a whole bunch of golf memes about fake handicaps, which I thought was quite amusing. But when it comes to Bronny James here, I'm being serious. Leave this kid alone. He suffered cardiac arrest. Can you imagine in your neighborhood where you live, wherever you live, and you're there mocking a man's son who had cardiac arrest? That man, if he could, would come out of his house and knock on your door and punch you in the mouth. That'd be the real world. If someone in your neighborhood were mocking your child, your son or daughter, because they suffered cardiac arrest and almost died, and then they survived and went on to fulfill a dream, and you were talking trash about that kid, you know LeBron James could break these people over in two, put them on his lap and snap them? And I don't know how he deals with what I saw last night. It was really horrific. Of all the people saying, nepotism, nepotism, I don't believe it. What don't you believe? Bronny James is a late second round pick. If he wasn't a late second round pick, he wouldn't have been drafted and they would have signed with the Lakers 30 seconds after the draft. The kid was a five-star ranking when he was younger. He went and played at USC. Again, he suffered a heart ailment. He went to the NBA training camp, the rookie camp, and played really well. Really well. I think he hit 26 out of 31 threes in the three-point shootout thing he had to do. He's strong. He's not overly tall. He's going to play guard on the wing, and he's going to get to practice with his dad. And we got men, mostly men, who are ripping on a kid who suffered from cardiac arrest. Let that sink in for a second. I am not the moral high ground. I'm not. But I have two sons who are roughly the same age. I got a 21 and 23-year-old. God forbid anything ever happened to my children, my sons. And they went on to try to live a dream and come back from it. And people were mocking my sons. Think about that for a second with LeBron James. Supposed to be the happiest day of his life. More important than LeBron even getting drafted, I would think, would be his son getting drafted by the team he plays for. And everyone is there. Everyone is there mocking this kid. And we'll see what's going to happen. So I'll get into that also throughout the show, because I just don't think it's fair. Bobby, let's play a soundbite from Bronny getting drafted last night. This was from last night, late in the second round, where people were wondering if he was going to get drafted. He ended up with the Lakers.
With the 55th pick in the 2024 NBA draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select Bronny James from the University of Southern California.
All right, ESPN on the call. So that's how it sounded last night. And imagine being a human being thinking that that was a bad thing. And there's a lot of people who are doing it. And a lot of people are talking about nepotism. And it's something that I kindly talk about here and there on my platforms too, because I've never benefited from nepotism. I got a really successful dad who's a conservative government accountant. He's a legendary man. If you met my dad, and a lot of Raider Nation met my dad. My dad is an icon. I could never be my dad. I couldn't be my dad in my wildest dreams. He's so much better of a human being than I am in person. I mean, my dad, to me, is one of the most, and my mom, obviously, but my dad, as a sports figure for me, I could never accomplish what he accomplished. And I know how proud my dad is of me, just with basic things I do in my life that have nothing to do with my radio career. And I cannot believe what LeBron James had to deal with last night, with the way his son got dragged on the internet. And it was interesting because Stephen A. Smith and Adrian Wojnarowski and all the people on the ESPN desk, they were pretty happy for Bronny. And people are even questioning them, saying, well, you're afraid to criticize LeBron. The NBA is full of nepotism. The only sport that has more nepotism is the NFL. Just look at the front offices and the ownership groups around the NFL. The NFL's owned by an individual, and their daughter and son are the vice president of the teams. And their grandkids work for the team in marketing and ticketing. That's nepotism. Who cares? Who cares? If you don't have a member of your family that can help get you a job or make it a little bit easier for you, do it yourself. That's the way I've been able to treat my life. Do it for yourself. And every once in a while, if someone gives you maybe a little bit of a handout or says, hey, man, we'll give you this opportunity. That happens nowadays a lot with jobs, right? Moms and dad nows are, I'm just giving you my experience because I got one more kid about to graduate college. Moms and dads who have kids in high school and early in college are now freaking out about internships. That's the newest thing. I told you about club ball, baseball, these little league psycho moms and dads. I've shared some stories. The new thing is everybody's scared not to have an internship. Oh my God, can you help my son get an internship? Oh, JT, you're in radio. Can you help my daughter get? No. No, yeah, maybe. Fill out a form. I'll put a good word in for you. Don't worry about your kid. I was cutting grass. I had my own lawn company at 16 years old. My dad wasn't saying, you're going to college, go get an internship. I was like, Dad, I'm too busy cutting 100 lawns on the weekend. No nepotism there. right? Now everybody's losing their mind that Bronny James got a little bit of a chance from his dad and Rob Pelinka. Everybody needs an internship. Calm down. Kids and young people eventually have to prove it on their own. They got to prove it on their own. If they're no good, they're not going to make the team. I mean, this isn't Summerlin South Little League. If you know someone who knows someone, you're going to make the All-Star team. Oh, I just said it. Ooh, that's going to get me in trouble. I better include Green Valley Little League and club ball. I better include North Las Vegas Little League and club ball, where dads are in the parking lot begging coaches to get their kids on the All-Star travel team to get to Cooperstown. Literally, moms and dads are begging the coach, please pick my son to make the All-Star team. You think there's a little bit of nepotism there? There is. 702-365-9200. As I say again, go do it on your own. Take all the shots that you ever want to take at me. You could be a troll. You take every shot you want at me. I've earned every bleeping thing I've done in my life and in this business by outworking everybody, even building a fake. My wife was in here. Look at this. My wife was building this fake backdrop this morning. I go, what are you doing? She says, you're working from home. I got to build the brick backdrop. So we got some backdrop here that we ordered from Amazon to get the YouTube going, man. You know, I work at the hierarchy of the Raiders in their multi-million dollar studio, and now I got the Walmart or Amazon brick drop. Do it on your own. If you get a little bit of a handout, someone lets you maybe get a job or do something, then you do it, but earn it your way. Everybody's freaking out about nepotism, nepotism, nepotism. Now look in the mirror. And if you're not happy with your job, go get a better job. But leave this Bronny James kid name out of your mouth. The kid suffered cardiac arrest and almost died. You don't have the right to troll this kid. Go troll someone else. Let's get out to Jorge in San Jose, who begins the broadcast. Jorge, what's happening?
Hey, JT. You know, long time no talk. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I've had a couple issues with the Raiders app, so, you know, sometimes it's been cutting off, but glad that I was able to get in today. You know, I'm a Lakers fan, JT, and so, you know, being up here in the Bay Area, it could be tough to have this kind of conversation because people are always going to be biased just because of the NorCal, SoCal. But, you know, I don't have an issue with Bronny getting drafted, you know, and let's be honest, the Lakers have never been, at least over the last 10 years or so, 15 years since Lonzo Ball got drafted, to be a team that's historically known to build through the draft. I mean, you had Kobe that was there for the longest time, but a lot of the talent, a lot of the reason why they won the championship in the bubble was because they had players come in, and a lot of the players that they drafted were kind of already on their way out. You know, Josh Hart went to the Knicks, Alex Caruso out there in Chicago. So, you know, that's just my concern, but the difference here, JT, is that Bronny has his dad. Who is the best non-head coach in the NBA right now? It's got to be LeBron James. And the fact that he's able to be there and mentor his son, I think is wonderful. I think LeBron James was still going to mentor and coach his son, regardless of where he went. If he went to Charlotte, if he went to Portland, wherever he went, he was still going to have that mentorship because that just comes with LeBron's nature, you know? And so I think it's great. I wish him all the best. I'll be on the lookout. I'll be looking forward to it. And if he struggles, he'll get heat or whatever. But I think it's going to be growing pains. You know, LeBron James was gifted with such special talent from such a young age.
Right.
It's a disservice to put his son on that scale right now. But anyway,
thanks, Jorge. You know, appreciate the call. I got to run. I appreciate it. I'm getting close here. Look, again, he's open to criticism. Bronny James is going to the NBA. As a player who might not have been drafted in the NBA, he's going to the Lakers. There is a little bit of a controversy because Rich Paul, the super agent, reportedly, and Bob Myers put it on the broadcast, was calling other teams, basically saying, don't take him or he's going to go play in Australia. So what happens if Indiana would have took Bronny James? Do you really think that LeBron James and Rich Paul would have let Bronny go to Australia? 21 hours away by airplane to play basketball and not practice with LeBron every day? So people are making that out to be a big story. If the kid's not good enough to play, he won't play. But as I always said this, I'll bring it back to Tim Tebow. And I'll bring it back to what I said about myself in the open. Tim Tebow was probably a Mount Rushmore college football player. He was. He won two national championships and a Heisman Trophy. Go look it up. That's like impossible to do. He was able to do that. He's a very good player. He was not a very good NFL player. Why did he have to be a great NFL player? Now he has a church ministry. He's helping kids around the world. He's a multi-millionaire. He's a public speaker. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, right? You got everything that he's done. Why does he have to be better? Why do you have to be better? Why can't you be great at 19 or 17 and never be more acclaimed again at 31 or 32? Why does everybody judge everyone on having to be the greatest? Can't you be good? This guy Quigley today for Toronto got $166 million. He's a nice player. He's not a great player. He's a nice player. He got $166 million. I use it with Robert Gowrie. Robert Gowrie was a very good football player. He was a Mount Rushmore college football player. He came to the Raiders, got a lot of money, played reasonably well. He wasn't a star. He should have been a Pro Bowler. Could have been one of the greats. He wasn't. He's one of the nicest Raiders I've ever met. He's got a big mansion up in Tahoe. The charity work. What a great society. Everything is Robert Gowrie. And some people say he's a boss. They won't say that to his face. But they'll say, you don't have to be judged on your worst day of all time and your greatest achievement of all time. But in sports, we do that. And again, I do it too. I judge the greatest of all time at the quarterback position, in boxing, whatever it is. But just to get there, just to be there, to be in the space, to be in the arena, to be considered a professional or have an opportunity to become a professional is greatness. But we in this society, we build people up and we tear them down instantly. It's happened to you. It's going to happen to me one day. I hope I'm not judged by my worst day, and I hope I'm not judged by one day in my career. Why the hell have I been doing this close to 30 years? To be judged by what happened in June of 2024, or what about April of 2013? No one remembers what I was doing in April of 2013. You judge people by their overall ability in life. And this kid, Bronny James, is a special kid. He just had a cardiac arrest and found his way to stand up again, be alive, and compete at the NBA draft camp and play really well. I think that's something we should be talking about. 702-365-9200. It's me and you. Next hour, I'm going to replay part of the Sam Munson interview. That was my best content of the week. We like to do that a little bit on Friday. And U.S. men's soccer. Man, do we suck at soccer. Our men suck at soccer. We just do. And don't even push back on me on that one. God, man, we are bad. We get a red card. We're playing a man down. We lose in the Copa. Now if we don't win our next match, we're out of it. What the hell's going on out here? Don't tell me about the golden era of men's soccer here. Our women are great. Our women are elite in soccer. Our men are average to below average, and we can't figure it out. What's going on here? I got to worry about the United States not getting out of the group stage? Guys throwing punches and getting red cards? Come on, man. I want to see U.S. men's soccer do well. I fly my American flag. You wonder why I root for England. I wouldn't root for England against the United States, but the reason I root for England, and they don't win a lot either, but they're much bigger than American soccer. God, that was a hell of a monologue. Appreciate everybody diving in. You should have something you want to react to. We are brought to you by the DeCastaverde Law Group. Brothers win. The brothers have your back. They're the absolute best.
Right now, Rich Paul's calling teams, don't take Bronny James. He's telling them, do not take him, okay? He's saying, don't take him. If you take him, he's going to Australia. So he has a plan and he has a place.
Welcome back, everybody. That's Bob Myers, who was on the broadcast last night. Basically, and Bob Myers has won multiple championships as the architect of the Warriors. So I believe he gets paid to be there to give valuable information. And he said that Rich Paul was there throwing up a smoke screen, telling everybody don't draft Bronny James. because he wants to be a Laker. They wanted to draft him, and the Lakers needed several teams to pass on that so the Lakers could get him. Is that collusion? No. It's just Rich Paul, a powerful agent, arguably the most, telling all the teams that if you screw me over with Bronny James, I'm not going to bring one of my free agents to your team. Yeah, it was a warning. It's an absolute warning. So when it comes to that, I don't have much of a problem with that. People with power have a lot of ability. They have the power to call government figures and executives and people on Wall Street to get advice, to get opinions, and they use it. But this thing's a big storyline because I think it's getting personal. And if, you know, a typical tweet would be like, or that I read last night and this morning was, oh my God, I can't believe Bronny James is a Laker. What a bunch of bleep, 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 bleep. The kid doesn't deserve it, bleep. Oh, this is all LeBron, bleep. And come on, that is juvenile. So you got to look at this and say to yourself, what is fair game? And I'm open to that, if you want to call on that. What is the fair criticism for Bronny James at 19 years old getting drafted by the Lakers? I think the fair criticism should be that if he doesn't make it, because he doesn't have to play this year. He's 19 years old, sits at the end of the bench. He's at practice every day with his dad. He's at workouts every day with his dad. He's lifting weights with his dad. He's on the road with his dad, which is pretty cool. He gets up in the morning, texts his dad. They go down and eat breakfast in the Four Seasons together in the meal room. They go for a run. They go for a workout. How great is that? But people, I guess, don't want to see that because they think it's nepotism. Well, Bronny gets into games eventually, and he's only 19. So by the time he's 21, he'll have, you know, 1.5 seasons under his belt with the Lakers organization. He better be a better player by then. Also, there's a new PFF ranking, Pro Football Focus. We'll hear from Sam Munson next hour. They rank the Raiders linebacking unit as 15th. We're doing a lot of rankings this summer. According to Gordon McGinnis of Pro Football Focus, the Raiders linebackers come in the middle of the pack at 15. They go on to write that Robert Spillane thrived for the Raiders in his first full season as a starter, earning a 77.1 PFF grade on 1,100 snaps to rank tied for 17th in the league. Divine Diablo is a good tackler, having missed just 6% of his career attempts. And rookie Tommy Eichenberg could be pivotal and prove to be a steal. The fifth-round draft pick earned an 86.8 PFF grade at Ohio State in 2022 before having a down year in his final season. So for the Raiders linebacker, I totally think that Tommy Eichenberg is going to play. And I think he's going to be a great tackler on special teams. We're going to do a deep dive on special teams coming up at training camp because when I get a chance to do the play-by-play on radio, I got to learn about this quickly. I got to see what they're going to do. I got to see how the Raiders set up and how strong they're going to be at that position. Out to Portland, Oregon, Raider Mike. Good to talk to you again. Mike, ahead.
How you been, JT? What's up?
Doing well, thanks.
After last night, very disappointing. I hate politics, but it's getting scary. And the even scarier thing is what the reaction to Bronny getting drafted. Mm-hmm. Who cares? Who wouldn't want to see Jordan play with his kid? I mean, just come on, people.
Let me stop you there for a second. Hold on a second. Let me stop you there because I thought I crossed the line when I tweeted it out. I don't regret it, but I would have deleted it. Do you understand that Michael Jordan's oldest son embarrassed him and Michael Jordan's former wife and the mother of this young man by dating Larsa Pippen, Scottie Pippen's divorced wife, who hung out with the Kardashians? Do you know that when Michael Jordan's oldest son decided to date her, he embarrassed his mom, who used to hang out with her, and put the family in shame? And that's Michael Jordan's oldest son, and Bronny hasn't done anything wrong. Bronny seems to be a great kid.
He is a great kid. That's my point. Let him be. Anyway, the only other thing I had to throw out there is I have a bet that's getting paid off next weekend with Chad Ewing. He's one of my buddies, but he hosts Rip City Radio Blazers. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And he has to wear a Derek Carr jersey on Forest Hills Golf Course for the fourth year in a row. So
why is the Derek Carr jersey the mockery jersey? Why is that the jersey that he has to wear? I don't understand that.
It's just it's ritual now.
Whoever loses has to wear the Derek Carr jersey, no matter what?
No, I have to wear Elway.
Oh, you have to wear Elway. Ooh.
I haven't lost yet.
Okay. All right, so you're on a bit of a roll.
Huh?
You're on a bit of a roll. You haven't had to wear that
donkey
jersey.
No, that's the Raiders doing the work for me. Mm-hmm. I know what my team is.
Okay.
And Denver sucks. And he knows it. He'll still make the rebet next week. Anyway, love the show, JT. Not much to talk about this time of year.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. If I said there wasn't a lot to talk about, thanks for the call, I would be suspended. I would be fired because you can never be in radio and say there's nothing to talk about. Now, am I thrilled we're getting out of June? Next June, will I do a better job taking vacation in June instead of July? Yes. Yes, I'll do a better job at that. But there's plenty to talk about. And again, when it comes to everybody can understand nepotism because most of my audience, the people who are listening, have played sports at some level. The worst nepotism I've ever seen in my life is Little League. And I was accused of it because my dad was my coach, and my dad was a really big-time Little League coach. You know, the type of Little League coach that they name a field after or everyone in town knows. My dad was that type of coach, and I played for him every game. We're a pretty good player, and we had a bunch of really good teams. But I'm sure there were parents sitting up there going, why is John's son catching in this game, and why isn't the other guy? That's nepotism. I grew up with it, but it was Little League. It wasn't professional sports. And I think that's why we have such a negative feel about nepotism, because two of the big things in our life, youth sports that we all did, if we were able to play, so it could be little girl soccer, it could be T-ball baseball, it could be high school football, don't get me going there, or baseball. So we've all been around nepotism where our kid or we weren't treated fairly. But then those bitter feelings stay with you, don't they? I mean, hopefully you're not bitter 40 years after Little League, but there are people who think about it and they go, I didn't like the way I was treated in Little League or youth basketball or whatever it was at the time. And then we watch sports and we see some of these quarterbacks or some of these players. The most recent one was Shador. As we look at Shador and what he was able to do for his son, Dion. And Shador seems to be a pretty good player. He really seems to be a really good player, right? He might go number 1, 2, 3 in the draft at quarterback next year out of Colorado. And how many people are going to say, well, Dion's son was the third overall pick in the draft next year because Dion's his father. It's going to happen. That's just the way it is. But the thing with Bronny James, which aggravates me the most, is that I look at Bronny James as a health issue. The fact that he had the cardiac arrest, for me, is another way of saying that he should be off limits. Wouldn't it be great if some of the topics on social media, bullying of young girls, bullying of kids in junior high school, if they were off limits, they're supposed to be, but they're not. There's not enough regulation. Bronny James doesn't need regulation to protect him from online bullying. But all Bronny James did last night was get accused of everybody of being a bad guy or being someone who didn't deserve something. Pigs says nepotism is mild corruption. The problem is when it's glorified in the face of a falling empire. It really just depends on the state of the world. If everything is gray, it's not a deal breaker. If everything is gravy, excuse me, it's not a deal breaker. This guy, Can't Get It Right, says he doesn't seem like a team player. I mean, what example can I give them this knucklehead? He doesn't seem like a team player. How does he not seem like a team player? Do you sit around and watch workouts and practices? Come on. So when it comes to this, this is a pretty important topic. Pretty important topic overall because also it's a jealousy factor. And one of the big topics I talked about all June is the jealousy of the WNBA. I mean, how many of these young ladies and gals are so freaking jealous of Caitlin Clark? I mean, when Caitlin, the game starts, some of the women on the other team give her dirty looks. They don't shake her hand, and they want to kick her ass. They want to foul and screen her. They want to get on television. They're already on television, but they're not going to get on SportsCenter unless they knock Caitlin Clark on her butt. They're not going to get on SportsCenter unless they block her shot. What is she dealing with? I think she's dealing with something a little bit even tougher than Bronny James. She's dealing with jealousy to the highest level, which is absolutely crazy. Jealousy is a disease. If you're jealous of someone, do a better job than them. But man, there are a lot of people that, you know, I had one of my really good friends made, I thought, an interesting point. I won't say it's a great point, but very interesting. He said this Bronny thing's going to help LeBron in the Jordan debate. I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, Jordan's son's an idiot. He's an idiot. He works for Nike underneath his dad, and he dated Larsa Pippen to embarrass his mom. So he's an idiot, and I agree. Michael Jordan's son is an idiot, and he's embarrassed Michael Jordan to the point where Michael Jordan was thoroughly embarrassed by this. Now, Michael Jordan stopped playing at 39. LeBron's going to go to All-Star games at 40, 41, 42. LeBron James is lapping Michael Jordan in everything he's ever done, other than winning 6 championships. The stats aren't even close anymore. And LeBron James did something, 2 things that Michael Jordan could never do. He went from high school to the NBA, something Jordan could never do. He was cut in high school. And LeBron James produced a child who's playing professional basketball, something Michael Jordan could never do. But don't get those Jordan fans going. Don't get them going. Those are the same fans that don't believe Michael Jordan can do anything wrong when he lightly disappeared from his sport to go miss baseballs in Birmingham. Don't give him heat for that, but you give LeBron heat because his son decides to play in the NBA. It's a crazy world we live in. Got a lot more to say here. Men's soccer is an embarrassment. We're in a must-win situation. And more on the Raiders roster and the running back room with Alexander Mattison. And what are his expectations?
For Murillo. Murillo lobs it up in the air. Robinson got to be careful. It's knocked away by Ayarza. Hooks it back in the middle. It's in. Panama score. The pressure finally breaks through. And it's Jose Fajardo that's given Panama the lead with 7 minutes to go.
That is Panama beating the U.S. men's national team in Copa America. JT, back with you as we continue on. A lot more to get to. We got another big hour coming up here. At some point, I'm going to reposition our conversation with Sam Munson. I had earlier in the week. That was my best interview of the week because he did a deep dive on the Raiders. More on Bronny James. Real quick on this men's soccer team. It's not a topic that I do much of, you know, especially on this platform. I will tell you that it's disturbing because men's soccer in the United States should be massively great. It should. We have the best training in the world, the best nutrition in the world, the best of everything in the world. And we can no longer say that we don't take soccer seriously. We do. Every kid's playing soccer on every field across America every weekend. And then the ones who don't want to continue to play soccer because they want to go on to basketball or baseball, great. But that was 30, 40 years ago. Now you can make a lot of money as a soccer player internationally. So you don't have that problem. And soccer is the biggest sport in the world, bigger than the NFL, MLB, and the NBA combined. So there's no more excuses built in. There used to be excuses. We don't care about it. It's not part of our DNA. It's not part of our culture. Our kids want to be different types of athletes. That's 20, 30-year-old bullcrap. Now there's no more excuses. We're just not very good. Christian Pulisic is the best player on our team. There's 150 Christian Pulisic's playing nationally, globally, around the world. We don't seem to have stars. I don't know why, but there's no more excuses. If we cannot win globally in soccer, if we cannot win, we got to put more money into it. We got to send more kids at the age of 13, 14, 15 overseas so they get better training than they would get here in the United States because we don't have enough great coaches. We just don't. You know, volleyball is a really big sport here for young girls. They're the best in the world, and you're able to see it at the Olympics, right? In sand volleyball or team volleyball, they'll lose here and there. Women's soccer is great globally. The WNBA is the best league. There are women playing in Europe and Israel and around the world who are very good basketball players who don't want to play in the WNBA, but the WNBA is the best league. And college basketball for women is by far the best league for young women to play basketball. We only have one NASCAR league. It's in the United States. It's not in Russia. It's not in the Far East. We dominate that. But the one sport we have to start getting better at is soccer because of the global ramifications. And our men were really bad. More breaking news on that Sunday ticket NFL lawsuit where the NFL is losing billions of dollars with that. I'm going to get into that also next hour. I guess we're plaintiffs in this because I've had NFL Sunday ticket from the day it was born or close to it. So I was having coffee today with my wife going, are we going to make any money on this thing that's happening here with Sunday tickets? She goes, probably. She goes, I don't want to do the homework in it. Can you do it? You're the sports talk husband. What do I need to do? Fill out a form? Do they owe me some money? Because I was paying $390 for that. And I could have been paying $70. That's a storyline that's developing in a really big way here too. And what we have lined up for Costa Mesa is going to be great. I'm going to be out there on the 23rd and just head down. We're doing radio shows, Vinny Q. We're trying to dot the I's and cross the T's on all that. I'll say goodbye to the YouTube audience. I got about another hour of radio left before I have my bucket of Modelo. And yes, I'm going to have a portion of a bucket of Modelo's today. So when we come back, Bobby will have more of me and hopefully more of you. And we'll wrap up our week on the flagship of the Raiders.